Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
I'm Jennifer Kopasz-Rose.
And this is the midweek version of the Fiber Talk podcast that is for the needle workers.
Yep.
Tonight, Jennifer and I will be stitching and chatting, so join us for that on the Stitch Hour.
Yay.
Beth has better things to do.
Oh, yes.
No, Beth can't be with us. So the two of us stitching and chatting. So join us for that. Tonight, also, the Marion Lang free download ends. Kim extended it a week. So that free download, wetalkfiber.com/Lang, that free download of the sampler chart from Sassafras samplers ends. So after tonight, you have to pay for it. It's still available. You have to pay for it. And then /Lang kit will get you the kits to the page for kits with Kim. So take advantage of that. And then still ongoing is the Mary Jane Fry chart. That is still free and still available. WeTalkFiber.com/MJF1861. And then /MJF1861 kit takes you to Sassy Jack's for kits for that. So those are available. Spring Hill sampler at Spring Hill from Needle in a Haystack. That is all still available. Good luck catching up with Jennifer on that one. Geez, you're really flying. We'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah.
Then also, Kim at Sassy Jack's has started the Botany Bay sampler from Brendan and Karen Kirk. And you might want to look into that on the Sassy Jack's website. I know I'm going to start it. I think Beth's going to start it. I don't know about Jennifer, but...
No, I started some other stuff of my own that I really want done. So
Jennifer has her own parade. So So anyway, we're going to work on that. So that's available. And then Sunday, our guest is Joanna Kabanoff from Australia. Her company is Mojo Stitches. And if you looked at any of the things in the recent online expo, she had some beautiful designs. And one of those is the Take Wing design. It's a Quaker sampler, Take Wing, original design, not a reproduction. And Kim has put together kits for that. And those kits are very, very affordable. She is taking full skeins because there's some specialty threads in there that she got from Australia. They're not like rayon or anything like that. So Kim is going to, rather than full skeins, which you don't need, she's going to size them down, and it will make the kit very affordable. So if you want to join us for that, we're starting that. Joanna will be our guest Sunday, and then we'll be starting that Take Wing design. So it'll be at wetalkfiber.com/wing. And you can go to Sassy Jack's website and hunt down all these things. I'm just trying to make it easy with these URLs to remember. So /wing. We'll take you to the Sassy Jack's website where you can get the chart and kits. Check that out. It's really a neat, really neat design. Joanna really does a nice job. And then had a great conversation with Joanna on about her design work and how she's developed her art. So
nice. Yeah, so, I really like it. I like the bird. I like birds anyway. So.
Yeah,
and it's got those swans. I like
Cool stuff. Yep. So all of that in the works. So pick something out, pick two out, pick three out, put them on your racks and start stitching. We're all in play here quite a bit. And then let's see, last Wednesday, if you missed it, go back and listen to the Wednesday show with Kathy Ray, the second of our Thread Talk shows. That was fun. Well, it was fun, but it was also incredibly informative.
Yeah,
that was really good. She does a nice job. And so she talked about needles for quite a while, and then she talked about a ground cloth. And it was very informative. So go check that out. And then be sure and check out this past Sunday, Lindsay Olson. What an amazing woman, combining science and needlework. Really fantastic. And I would, when you listen to that podcast Sunday, take some time and go to her website, because there's no, we could not begin to convey and talk about all the things she's done. It just was not possible. It would have taken another hour. So go to her website and read some of the articles and look at her artwork, different science areas of science and the artwork, the needlework that she's put together to interpret those things. Because it's really amazing stuff that she's doing, especially someone who has no science background. So, yeah, amazing. Yeah. Yep. That's it.
Yes. Oh, okay.
5 minutes of stuff that we're doing. That's all we, yep, there we have it. Okay, yes. Now I've been dying to get to this day. Well, all right, not dying, but anxious. Okay, well, let's not get extreme here. Anxious to get to this day because you bought one of Kathy Ray, Needle and Haystack, one of her little test kits,
yes,
for testing threads on different counts of linen.
Yeah, it's one of her silk samplings kits. She has two so far. Number one and number two is what they are.
It was a long meeting to figure that one out.
Yeah. So number one has the higher count linens. And also some SWA 103 and the SWA Surfine, which is a 130/2. And she also includes one of those ultra fine needle threaders and three different types of needles.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the 46 count Bristol linen, the 55 count Kingston linen, and 53/63 count Legacy linen. And I tried them all out, and I made little, I did a post maybe about a week ago on Instagram and Facebook and stuff. And I did little hearts, and I did them, you know, on the different fabrics. I also used a one strand of DMC. And then I have this really fine embroidery, like kind of a, what am I trying to say? Applique thread for sewing. I can't talk.
you're in the wrong spot if you can't talk.
I know, right? Like my brain's like blank. I'm like, really? Not now.
So you like tried those different threads on the right, different cloth. So the purpose of this kit,
right,
is so you can see how the threads, right, behave on these different thread counts. So then,
and also if you can do it,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
like if you can manage it with your eyes and with your magnifier and all that to see if it's something that you can do, so you don't spend a bunch of money and then go, oh, I can't do this because, yeah, I can't see.
So what did you take out of it? Did you find that you were able to do all of them?
Yeah, I can do them all. I really like the 45 count a lot. So that's something that I would maybe do for the summer, Summerhill by Rosewood Manor.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking of doing the 45 count with DMC. And because using
up till this, you have really not done anything above 40, right?
Right. I've not done above 40.
Yeah.
I've done 40 with one strand, and I like it, but it's a little thin, you know, with one strand. It's got, mm-hmm, that more primitive look, and I, on some things, I like the thin. That's fine. And on other things, I want it to be really full. So I like the one strand of DMC or the 103, because they're about the same size. The one, okay, strand of DMC and one strand of 103.
Oh, okay, so on 45 count, you can, one or the other will work then.
Right, and it's really full.
Okay.
And then I did the 103 on the 45 count, and it's really thin.
Yeah.
Like it looks pretty weedy.
But then when does it fill in? Is it at the next level up, or do you have to go two,
yeah,
levels?
Yeah, the 55. That's what it is, right? Where's that paper? Yeah, the 55 count, the 130 starts filling in, and then the 103 and the DMC looks pretty chonky.
Yeah. Okay.
Not overdone. You can still do it, but it's kind of similar to how I'm doing two strands of DMC on my 37,
mm-hmm,
where it's good, but it's maybe a little crowded.
Yeah.
But as long as you keep things tight, it's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then,
cause that's where, you know, just to be clear, that's the question that gets asked a ton is, mm-hmm, at what thread count, using DMC, at what thread count do you go to one strand versus two? And it's,
right,
most people will say it's at 35 threads per inch, 35 mm-hmm. count linen, is kind of the point where it becomes up to you.
Yeah.
Below 35, you definitely need two strands. Above 35, you go to one. But right in that area, mm-hmm. it's really a preference thing.
Yeah, because I've done, you know, I've done projects in the past on 18 count Aida
mm-hmm.
using two strands, and 18 count is 36 count.
Right.
And so, and like the 37 count, it is a little squishier than the 18 count, you know? Mm-hmm. So, because the weave is a little bit tighter.
Yeah.
And it's doing well. I haven't gotten to the bottom part of that spring hill yet where there's like lots of solid.
Yeah.
So I'll see then. But another project that I'm planning on doing that I had done some way in the past, like ages ago on 18 count Aida, I did buy some 36 count linen that I'm going to use two strands on
mm-hmm.
and do this project. And I'm going to use two.
Yeah.
But that is kind of the area where it's like, but then on Pandemic, I'm using 18 count Aida and I'm using one strand.
Yeah.
But I want the fabric to show through on that one because it's sparkly fabric.
So different there. See, and that's the thing. See, that you hit it right on the head. That's the thing where it's a personal preference. What mm-hmm. do you want it to look like? And then you adjust. So you got a sparkly fabric. You want it to show through in the X's because
right.
you want some of that to glint, the light to glint off of it. So
yeah.
then you make it go thin, where someone else may say, I'm just going to be on a regular solid fabric. I want to cover it. Yeah.
Right. And I'm all about whatever works for the project, the outcome that I want is what I will use.
Yeah.
So if it's Aida, it's Aida. If it's linen, it's linen. I don't care. It's it's the look I want. I'm after the look, and whatever it takes to achieve the look, I will do.
Yeah. All right. So tell me about the 5360, because that I tested that because Jean Leaf's favorite. And I tested that one time, just kind of a passing test. And it seemed okay, but I could tell it was not going to be my favorite. So what did you experience?
It's okay.
Okay.
It's hard. It's harder. It's
yeah.
slower. You have to go so much slower, even with the good magnification and stretching it wide. It's definitely slower. And then you can even see in my picture, I still did the one strand of 103 and the DMC, and they're really chonky, and my DMC got wonky. I think I missed the threads, like,
oh.
because they're so small, it's hard to see where you're going.
Oh.
I think I misstitched.
Well, yeah, because if you're using a needle fat enough to handle a DNC strand,
mm-hmm.
that's a big fat needle on 5360. Like,
yeah, well, I can shove DMC through a beading needle.
Oh, okay.
And it's pretty thin.
Yeah. Wow.
I can do it. So I've done it lots.
Yeah.
But then the 130 and the 80 count cotton, the Aurifil cotton, that stuff looks great.
Mm-hmm.
But it's definitely slower.
Yeah.
You know, it was, and so it's not bad. I'll probably do something on this piece of linen that I have that she sent as a sample.
Mm-hmm.
But then I probably wouldn't do like a bigger project though. I mean,
yeah.
I'll never say never because you never know.
Right.
But it's not something that I'm going, ooh, yeah.
Well, so, okay. So then the kit then worked because it gave you
mm-hmm.
without at minimal cost, it gave you a nice taste of those higher threads. And it sounds like it gave you some confidence that if a project came along that you wanted to do in the mid 40s, that you wouldn't hesitate. You'd say, all right, I at least know what this is like and I can do it and I'll enjoy it. And
yeah. And you know, the 45 is not that much different than 40.
Right.
I mean, I have to have magnification for both.
Yeah.
And it really wasn't that much different.
Right. Yeah, it really
and
isn't.
I really like it. And I do like how full the DMC is on it.
Mm-hmm.
It gives that same fullness that I like on 32 count with two strands.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because like DMC 28 count with two strands, it's okay. It's a little thin for me.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times, like this one project I just started, it came with a 28 count And not only because I want it to be fuller, but also for the size, for it to fit on the wall where I want it to go. Mm-hmm. I put it on a 32 count.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Okay. Cause it's a cool idea that Kathy has.
Yeah, it's definitely.
Yeah. You can experiment because
people should do it.
Yeah, I should.
Yeah. People should buy it because it's, and then you have these pretty decent sized pieces. Like, you know, this one's 9.5 by 8 inch. They're mm-hmm. all about the same size pieces of linen with on this high count. You can put a decent sized piece on that.
Yeah. So that's the other part is it's not a waste of money because it's not just scraps. It's a piece of linen you can actually do something with.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I will. I tried doing my little hearts like on the edge and stuff, you know, and you need a hoop.
Mm-hmm.
And then I made the mistake on one where I tried doing too close to the edge on the hoop, and that makes it harder. Don't do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Well, you can always do if you need to go to the edge for some reason. I don't know why, but you can always sew on some like other fabric like muslin or some, you know, normal fabric, quilting fabric, sew it on the edge, like baste it, and then put that in the hoop and stretch so you have more of that edge in mm-hmm. the center of your hoop.
Yeah. Yeah.
If, you know, maybe you're really good at sewing and you don't need like an inch or two around, you know, you want to turn it into a pillow and you want to use this whole piece. That's a way you can do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That way you don't have to do it in hand. I mean, doing it in hand, I do that too, but on this high count linen, that's tough.
No, thanks. thanks.
I've tried it and I've tried doing my over one on 28 count in hand and it's better to put it in a hoop.
Yep. Yeah. You need that. I really think so. Yeah.
It helps open it up.
So when you're doing these higher counts now, of course, first time for you, mm-hmm. more important, the magnification or the light, or is it the combination that worked that made the difference for you?
Both. Definitely both.
Okay.
Yeah. Especially when you get up to like the 55, you need your magnification and your light big time.
Yeah. 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 Okay. That's fun. So yeah, people, what does she call those? What are they?
Silk samplings.
Silk samplings. So.
Yep, kit one and kit two. And on her main page, like if you type in needle in a haystack and you have her main page, if you scroll down, it's highlighted there.
Mm-hmm.
Like right now, I don't know if it's always that way, but right now that's how I found it. You'll see, and the kit one will be highlighted and kit two will be highlighted. And then you click on that and then it takes you to so that's how I found it on her website.
Yeah. Okay. So needlestack.com, silk samplings. Give them a test. 20 bucks? Yeah.
20, 25? Is it 20? I don't remember.
I don't remember either.
Somewhere around there.
It's not 30 and it's not 15. How's that?
Exactly. There you go.
Yep. So the other question, backstitching.
Ah, yes.
When somebody says backstitching to you, what's your gut reaction?
Oh, no problem.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Oh, yeah. I like backstitching.
As you go along or after everything's done?
Usually after everything's done.
Really?
Yeah. Save it. Well, because back in the day, you know, when I started cross-stitching in the 90s, all of the instruction booklets say, do all the cross-stitches first and the back stitches after.
Right. Yeah.
It says so. And so I did it that way because that's how it told me to do it.
Okay, I'm impressed because if I don't do it as you go along, that sucker will sit there when I'm done, and I'll keep putting it off and I'll pick away at it. If I don't do it, I got to do it as you go along, or otherwise, you know, it'll get finished and it'll just sit somewhere. And the thing about it for me is when you put the back stitching in, oh man. It always makes it so much better. But
I gotta do it as you go.
Though.
I did all those Paula Vaughns, and on those, the back stitching, you even kind of have an order that you go. You kind of do the background. You look at the picture, and you envision it 3D, and you say, what's behind? You do the behind stuff first, and you move forward and layer, because some of the back stitching layers on top of other back stitching.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't do it in the right order, it looks weird.
Yeah. Now, all right, so that, you know, and that raises another question about backstitching. Do you vary the back stitching, because a lot of times it'll just be used a really dark whatever. But it seems to me that you would get more look if you ignore that and start using different threads, like a little darker shade of a blue against blue, that you would get a better result visually if you did that rather than just going through with...
Well, yeah, because that's what the Paula Von Charts does.
Uh-huh.
You know, it, you have different colors, and it's usually just a darker shade to make it stand out with the right shading.
Yeah.
So most of the backstitching I've done has been, you know, it's already done for you that way. And then some of the newer stuff where I feel like the backstitching has been too dark, I change the color.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm like, no, that's not going to work.
Yeah. Yeah, because for me, that's another area where you make it your own, but where you mm-hmm. can really improve a design. Because a lot of it, like I said, is just use this thread for all the backstitching. Well,
right.
That isn't always the best color in certain areas.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then I started a new project that has backstitching in it. Okay. So it's the Veronique Engineer on Ginger. She's a French designer. I can't speak French.
Easy for you to say.
I know, right? So anyway, the Veronique things, she does, it's one of those pictures that where it looks like it's like a study, like a flower study.
Uh-huh.
You know how they used to do in the olden days, the studies, and right. they would have the main picture, and then they'd have like figure one, here's the leaf. Figure two, here's the bud.
Yeah.
And so it looks like that. And so some of her batch, so she has backstitching in it. But it does that thing where the X's are all full X's, and then the backstitching, sometimes the X will bleed over
mm-hmm.
backstitching. And in the past, I have said that I don't like that. Because no. if it's something that's all backstitched, I will adjust the pattern to half stitches and three-quarter stitches to make it all fit in properly.
Right. Oh, I think
but
that's...
But on hers...
I think that's essential, yeah.
Yeah, but on hers, the way hers, these ones, and even her other ones that she does, they all kind of look like watercolors.
Mm.
And so the backstitching, because sometimes she'll do the backstitching kind of into the middle of the set of cross stitches, and then it won't be backstitched on the other. So it's not fully backstitched.
Mm.
You have backstitching here and there. So you know how in a watercolor... you'll have the lines and the color bleeds over the lines.
Right. Yeah.
That's so she what creates cross that. Stitch looks like. Yes.
Oh, okay.
So now I have an exception to my rule where I am doing, cause I debated, I looked at this pattern and I debated, I'm like, am I going to adjust all of these or not? And I looked real close and stuff and I saw, and in her other patterns too, I've seen where the backstitching is just like a hint.
Yeah.
It's like a hint into the line, so it's not a fully backstitched piece.
Mm-hmm.
So the backstitching, having the cross stitches on the outside of it, it's intentional because it makes it kind of look watercolory.
Yeah.
So this normally, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's like, that's a new thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm leaving it and I'm letting it flow.
There you go.
Because okay. Because it's the backstitching hints at the shape. It doesn't fully define the shape.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Whereas if it fully defined the shape, but then I'd have to fix it because it'd drive me crazy.
Yeah. I have to take a look at those. Yeah. Because I'm a big believer in if you have angle or what should be a curve, those partial stitches, rather than letting that pixelated stair step thing be there, fill mm-hmm. in those little things with quarter stitches or three-quarter stitches or whatever. Fill those in and get that shape because I think it's worth it. And it's not hard to do.
No,
you just don't do it. You just don't do a full stitch.
Right.
But I think it's worth it to do that. Even if it's not backstitched, it probably is more worth it then. Because especially flowers and curved things like that, you get a much nicer edge, a much smoother edge.
But these ones are different. I mean, and you can, it's it's easier to see it on the chart, but, you know, we can't show the chart because copyright.
Right.
So, and you can kind of see on the picture, if you enlarge certain areas, you can see where backstitching is done just to show a line, and the rest of it, it's not. It's open.
Yeah.
So it's not a fully enclosed backstitch motif or whatever.
I'll have to check that out. Yes. So Veronique something.
Yeah. Veronique en Ginger. So it's E-N Ginger. En Ginger.
En Ginger.
There you go.
Let's go with that. That sounded French, didn't it?
You're French now, yep.
Didn't that sound French?
I bought the kit from the French Needle.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You've interviewed the French Needle
before,
right?
Yeah, I did, yeah. 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 She, if you want unique stuff from France, that's the place to go, the French Needle. Yeah, I interviewed her, yeah. Whole different world, yeah.
Yep, so I got the kits from her, and like I said, I replaced the linen. It came with 28 count. And I, because of where they're going to go on the wall, I bought four rows things, and I have a certain place in my room where they're going to go. Mm-hmm. And I measured in 28 count. It's too big. And plus, like I said, I like how full the 32 count with two strands looks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some of this too, some of these are half crosses with one strand of thread.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So it's not, you know, so it gives that. So the leaves and stuff in the background that look like they're in the background, they look that way because they're done with one strand and they're half stitches, which is cool, I didn't know until I read the pattern.
Cross-stitching, I think, got away from a lot of, I know it got away from it because I have some old charts where partial stitches were just the norm.
Yeah.
And got away from it because people just want to do full X's and don't want to do backstitching. And I think a lot of designs you can do that, but I really think that the art suffers a bit if you don't do those, especially the partial crosses, because you're making boxes. You know, you're making X's, you're making boxes, and it's no different than pixelation of a photo on your computer screen. And the more you can fill that in and smooth it out, the better it looks. I've always felt that that to get away from that is a real loss for the art of cross-stitch because it just looks better.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I started, and I even did it on Aida. And Aida fabric has four strands in a square. Mm-hmm. And when you look at it, there's two that are behind, and then the center two are together. And you'd have to look at it to know what I mean. And all you have to do is take your needle and split those center two, and then split, and it's easy. I mean, that's how I started cross-stitching.
Yeah.
And it was not a problem.
Yeah, split them, and then you're dead center then, right?
Yeah, it was like no big deal. And then I started seeing charts where they have all this fully enclosed backstitch, and then they, you know, stuff's bleeding over or it's not filled in. And I'm like, what's going on there?
Yeah.
I was like, were they just lazy and didn't want to do the chart right? You know?
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, that whole thing is, it's an interesting evolution because, you know, I understand people, I just want to make X's. I don't want to do partials. Yeah. I don't want to backstitch. I just want to make X's. Okay. Then that's one way to do it. And there's a lot of people enjoy that. And these days more so than ever, but I think the art suffers if you don't do the partial stitches in particular. And then, if you don't have at least some backstitching in there to define items in whatever the object is.
Especially if it's, because I know there's always been these primitive ones, even back in the 90s. I mean, I didn't ever see them, but from watching stuff now and people talking about how old the charts are, I know some of this primitive stuff has been around where it is just all X's with really no backstitching.
Right.
But I never knew about that kind of cross stitch because I didn't have a cross stitch store. I had Hobby Lobby.
Yeah.
And that's where, you know, and Hobby Lobby back then had Krynek, it had Mill Hill Beads, it had everything. So I was able to buy all of my Krynek, my Mill Hill Beads, my DMC blending filament from the Hobby Lobby.
Yeah.
So I didn't know about the other kind. So I've only seen, and the cross stitch that I did back then looked like art. I mean, it looks like artwork.
Yeah.
it's meant to look that way. So therefore you have all this detailed stitching
right
to mimic artwork.
No, I think it's worth it. I think it's worth doing.
Yeah, I love it. And I love doing some of the primitive stuff because it is easy. It's like, oh, I can just rest and I don't have to look so hard and I can just stitch. But then sometimes you want to do something that's more complicated and you have to really focus. And
right. So, okay, but I didn't know that
it was complicated when I started.
Yeah. So to that, as you're stitching, do you consciously try to improve your technique? Is that something you think about, or are you satisfied?
Well, I always want to make sure everything's nice and even.
Okay.
But I've always stitched the same way. I've always had nice and even stitches.
Mm-hmm. Well, you do. I mean, you know, looking at your stuff, you always have, everything is very nice. Tension is good all the way across. Yeah, all of those things.
That's something that's been there since I started. So I don't know. I didn't know.
You started at the top and you're staying there.
I guess. I didn't know there was a different way. Now that I see other people stitching, I see that there is some that's maybe not so fabulous, but I'm like, you know, I don't know. Just it's not my fault.
That's another one of those areas though. Because sometimes you stitch and you don't worry about it so much. You just stitch just to move the thread and needle and
oh no, I always make sure mine looks good. Yeah. There's no sloppiness.
Yeah.
So maybe the perfectionist in me that's always been in me it's always been there. So I've always made it look perfect.
Yeah.
You know, right. And
but you don't,
and if it doesn't look right, I'll take it out and I'll make it right.
Okay. All right. So there is that then. All right. So
yeah, if I've made if there's somewhere where I've made a real sloppy, I'll take it and I'll fiddle with it till I get it where it looks proper and right. And mm-hmm. it's not all split and messed up.
Okay. All right. I'll work on it. That's in there. So you are working to improve.
But I've always been that way. That's nothing new. That's just me.
Yeah.
So
well, I've
always been a perfectionist.
It's problem I have too. But mm-hmm. Is it a conscious question? How can I do this better? Are you always asking, how can I do this better? Or what I'm doing satisfies my perfectionist need, and so well enough alone?
Well, yeah, because it always looks really even and stuff, and I don't know how it can...
How can it get better?
Now,
okay.
I can... Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to say, but... I know when I'm getting tired, I can tell if I start kind of missing, you know, how you're stitching and you kind of miss. If I miss my hole too many times, I'm like, okay, it's time to stop because you're going to make a mistake.
Yeah.
And you're not going to catch it till tomorrow when you're awake and then you have to take stuff out.
Yeah. Then you're going to be mad. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So I'm good at stopping before I do something disastrous.
Yeah. Now, see, that's something I've taught myself. If I'm tired at night, don't even start. Just don't even start.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now in other stitching, like say I'm doing my hand quilting, that is somewhere where, yes, I work on and try to improve my technique to get my stitches even. Mm-hmm. No matter how big or small they are, they need to be even. That's more important than big or small, because there is big stitching. But if your big stitches are uneven, it doesn't look good. So they need to be even. No matter how big or small, and depending on the piece, I want them bigger or smaller. Mm-hmm. And that, now for quilting, I have to work on it there.
Okay.
But
so
that's hand quilting, you know? Yeah, so
so that's in your head then. Okay. This, mm-hmm. I need to work on this to make it better or to constantly try to keep a high level.
Yeah. And then if it's a really big project, because you know, you're not going to do it all at once, you need to be consistent over the whole piece.
Right. Yeah, so, I was talking, I recorded coming up next week, a week from Sunday, talked with the Susan.
Susan Greening Day?
No. The head person at the Royal School of Needlework. Susan, I hate that. Anyway, she and Jackie. Talk to them about a new project that the Royal School is working on, and so that'll be next week, a week from Sunday. But one of the things we were talking about was online classes in terms of the Royal School, because if you teach at the Royal School, if you learn well enough that you can become a tutor, then, you know, they know that no matter who does the teaching, that the students are going to learn how to do the various techniques the way they want it done in the Royal School, and that any person can step in for another person and there will be no fall off or increase in technique, style or quality.
Right. Cause and, there's a way to do it. This is how we do it.
And they do it consistently. And that's part of why they can have so many people work on a royal wedding dress.
Mm-hmm.
Because and not have it look like a patchwork quilt, because everybody operates at that same high level and it's all consistent. And so we were talking about that in terms of online teaching and how having that foundation is such a benefit for them having so many online classes these days, because they know that the quality is going to stay the same no matter who's doing it, where they're doing it from, as opposed to in Hampton Court Palace in a classroom. They know that that's going to hold up. And it's just kind of a neat plus for them.
Cool.
But it's really, really fun. And the thing that we talk about in the show is this a new thing they're working on called a stitch bank. And I'm really anxious for the show to come out, because they're taking stitches and they're putting together diagrams and photos.
Oh,
and
cool.
So you'll be able to go there. It'll be this gigantic database of stitches from all over the world that you'll be able to go and see how they're done, see what they look like in really high quality photos, and see, you know, here's how to do it, and a little background. It's very impressive, very impressive. And
cool. And it's going to be like an online thing?
Yeah. It'll be available to anyone. Yeah. It's a resource that they'll offer.
Nice.
Very, very cool. And done Royal School style at the highest level possible.
Mm-hmm.
And cool. Wait till you see it. It's fantastic.
Oh, and, wow. Neat.
They really, but it's one of these things that come out of this pandemic, and not the pandemic itself, but it come out of us all being forced to learn how to use technology more. And they've been working on this for 2 or 3 years. But the pandemic has obviously given them a little more time and incentive, and the technology's there. You know, the technology to deliver this kind of thing is there, and they have the web people who can generate it and put it online so people can use it. But it's very impressive, really cool.
Wow, that is really cool.
Yeah, it's going to be it's going to be a resource that I don't think we'll be matched. I really don't. So
that'll be cool.
Yeah. So that's a week from Sunday. That's going to be pretty neat. Yeah, it is pretty neat. Yeah. It's coming up a couple months, I think it'll be available. So we get in ahead of it. Yeah. Yeah. They've been working on it for,
they've been working on it.
But a lot of that has been development. Working on it is one thing, but just developing, how are we going to present this? How are we going to photograph it so that it is consistently high level, and what angles, you know, all those things they've been working on for a long time. Because, like anything else, it's the background work and the extent of it, the prep work, that makes the difference with the final product. So, I think they knocked it out of the park with that one. It's really good. Yeah.
Cool.
Really good. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, so
go ahead. It just popped into my head.
Did it
hurt? So, you know, we're talking about almost. So we're on my spring hill, the third, because I'm doing the 2 on 37 count. That I do have to really pay attention to my tension, and I have to make it tight. If I don't make it tight enough, they get too bunchy.
Uh huh.
So that is one where I have to really focus. on stitching it tight, and because normally I don't pull too tight, and I'm not pulling so tight that the threads are moving. Mm-hmm. But if I don't get it in there firm, it's not going to leave room for the stitches around it.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so talk about that.
Where I'm having to, I'm having to do that.
Talk about that, because I mean yours is beautiful, and you're easily more than halfway done.
I'm halfway.
Yeah. But talk about.
But I've been so obsessed with this other thing, I haven't done it.
But talk about how you're doing that. Are you scroll frame? What is your setup frame for that?
Yeah, I've got it on my scroll rods, my scroll frame, and I sewed it on to the linen. I sewed the linen onto the bias tape.
Right.
And then I have it set up on my stand, my Edmund stand that I modified to have the arms.
Yes.
I'm going out to my mom's this summer, and she wants me to help her build a stand and scroll rods and stuff and modify. So we're woodworking this summer. But anyway.
All right.
But I have it on that, and then I have my light, magnifier light, and I sit in my chair, and I've moved it all into my sewing room.
Oh, okay.
Instead of being at the end of the dining table. It was getting too it was starting to drive me crazy. It was too messy.
Now, talk about tightness on the scroll frame, because I have a Millennium scroll frame, and so I don't worry about tightness. But with some scroll frames, tightness top to bottom is not usually difficult, but it's the side to side. Do you have things on the side to pull it tight, or do you get enough tension that you don't have to worry about it?
No, I mean, I've got enough. I have to tighten, you know, what it loosens up as you work on it.
Right, right.
And I have to tighten it up, and it is a little bit loosey-goosey towards the edges, just a little, but I don't really worry about it, because I guess because I've stitched in hand and stuff, that having super tight tension is not that important. Okay. I mean, it doesn't bother me.
Okay.
You know, but I do try to keep it tight, and also on these scroll frames, there's only not even an inch of space on each side. It's pretty much the width.
Oh, okay.
I don't really have room to put something. I mean, I could figure it out.
Yeah.
But I haven't.
And haven't had a need then. Yeah.
No. Yeah. Because it doesn't bother me that much. And I tried doing the Jessicas for the flowers. And I did a few, and they looked cute, but they were just on mine, they just looked too tiny.
Oh.
I was like, they're just too small. So I ended up doing the eyelets.
Okay.
Like she did. And then I kept the leaves and the stem. I just did it the way she did it. I didn't. I messed with it a little. And then I took them out and I did the eyelets.
Just go back to what you know will work. Yeah.
Yeah, because the eyelets, they're bigger.
Right.
And they do look more like a spiky flower.
Yeah.
I love the little round ones. And on yours, they look great. But I don't know. Maybe because mine's different. You know, floss and size of fabric and stuff. They just look too tiny.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I don't know.
Yeah, because I feel like mine are a good size.
Yeah, yours look good. But on mine, they looked so minuscule. I don't know.
I like the way they actually make a little bump. I mean, you know, because it's so jammed together that it gives a little relief, a little three-dimensional look to it.
Yeah, I like the little bump too, but I don't know. I put like in 5 or 6, and I was like, it's just not working for me.
That's why all three of us are doing different threads, different linen, and trying different things. Is the end result is we'll get to see what varying things from the prescribed what you can do. And but you know, I tell you, I have said this 100 times. I'm gonna say it 101 times. All the threads that we use, silks, all of them, and yours is a classic example. Almost every time, you know, when people say, oh, just run-of-the-mill DMC floss, you know, big deal. But every time you see something like this one in particular, stitched with DMC floss, you know, go ahead and argue with me that it doesn't look absolutely stunning.
Because the colors really, it looks really good. Yeah. And it's not even Sullivan's was the called for floss.
Right.
with the DMC conversion.
I know, but it just looks stunning every single time. The colors are always so rich, and they hold up. And you know, so people say, "Oh, DMC," you know, I got to do it. DMC. No, it really, you can't go wrong with it. You just can't.
No.
And on top of it, it's really affordable. It. You know.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Now I really do that 103. I really like that. I like I liked it better than the Swad Alger. I like the shape of it. I like that it's not such a fuzz monster.
Yeah.
I like it. Now, if I had known how good it was before I did my piece with this, I would have used 103 instead of Swad Alger. But I didn't know because I'd never tried it.
Yeah.
And I thought it was tinier, thinner.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know it was the same as one size of DMC.
Mm-hmm.
If I had known that, you know, I should have gotten this silk samplings a long time ago. So I knew.
Now you know.
Now I know stuff. But I mean, you know, the other one, it still looks good, but that Swad Alger was a pain to work with.
Yeah.
I did not enjoy it.
I like it, but I got it. Yeah, I got to admit, Fuzz Monster is a good.
Yeah,
you got to keep your pieces fairly short and watch and what you're doing.
And it slips out of your needle constantly.
Yeah.
Oh, oh my goodness. Yep.
But it's just that DMC. Boy, I'll tell you, you cannot.
Mm-hmm.
You simply can't go wrong. You just can't. I don't care what the design is. You cannot go wrong with DMC.
Yeah.
Yep.
And sometimes in charts where it says to use, you know, they've used an over dye. I look at it and I'm like.
Yeah,
I think I'm going to use DMC. You know, it depends on how big. Sometimes it's such a small little area, and it's like, why? You can't even tell.
Right.
You know, and why am I going to go buy a whole big thing of expensive floss when I have DMC that I could just...
Yep.
I've already got it. And if I don't, you know, any color, you just pick a color, and it'll go.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's... So every time I hear someone gently hinting that... it's a substandard thread. It's like, no, not at all.
It's my favorite. It's my favorite.
Yeah. It's so reliable. It's just such a reliable thread. You know how it's going to perform every time. You know how to control it, and you're right.
And you can wash it.
Yes. Yeah. On top of that. Yep. Yep. But the colors are consistent. You don't really have to worry about dye lots. Yeah, it's just a high quality. It's really good. Yeah.
Yeah, I love it.
Yep.
Yep, it's looking good. So yeah, that one is one where I do have to pay more attention to my stitches than I normally do.
Yeah.
And then when I do over one, I also make sure on over one because sometimes it'll slip behind. Oh,
yeah.
You have to be gentle with your over one and make sure it's not slipping. And you can just nudge it with your needle and get it back into place, you know.
Yeah.
Or if it slips behind too much, you just go the other way. Instead of going from bottom to top corner, you go from top to bottom corner and it fixes the problem.
Yep. Yeah, some people have said to me another way to do that is to do half crosses and then come back.
I started doing that. I was doing it individually. Well, if I'm using an over-dyed floss, I do individually.
Yeah,
but if I'm using DMC, but I'm doing all those little chickens with DMC, and they're all over one, and I just go back and just like normal cross stitch, I just go back and across, and it's working great.
Yeah,
I mean it looks fantastic.
Yep. Oh yeah, it does. Yep.
So.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Tonight, join us.
Yay. Yeah, I'll bring my little stitching samples.
Yes, yeah, we'll have the picture of that. We can talk about that more. That'll be fantastic. Yeah, people can see what you're talking about. That'll be great.
Right. Yeah. So. Instead of me just, but it's on my. There's a picture on my Instagram and Facebook, and I also on those I even like wrote in the side which side, you know, because I did it kind of like a grid, you know, like a chart.
Yeah.
You have the different linens and I listed and I wrote on it what the different ones were. And then at the top, it's like, here's the 103, here's the this, here's the DMC, here's the other one.
Yep.
So you can look at it and it's a grid and they're all done in the same order. So you can see.
So we'll have that tonight and we'll put that picture with this podcast too. So people can see it.
Right.
Cause it's instructive. Yeah. All right. We're calling it. That's
it's really good. Okay.
Fun time. Thank you.
Yes. Definitely.
Thanks for listening.
Yep. See you later.